Welcome to True Story, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. I'm Ivona Remundová. Hello, dear listeners. Today we are with Anna Zámecká. Hello, Anna.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Anna, I would like to ask you, originally you were studying journalism, anthropology and photography, and then you amazed the world by your film Chameleon. When and how did it happen to you that you became a documentary filmmaker?
Well, I think it just happened like naturally. Anthropology and photography in many ways is connected with filmmaking, I guess. So I guess I always like thinking about making films. Probably I was never like, you know, bold enough to apply for film school, but it was always somewhere like this thought of doing it was always in me. So once I felt that I am ready, I guess I just decided to do it. So it was like simple, I guess, like that.
Documentary filmmaker Anna Zámecká, based in Warsaw, Poland, studied journalism, anthropology, and photography, and finally the DocPro documentary program at the Vida School in Warsaw. Chameleon, released in 2016, was her feature-length documentary film debut, and it immediately won the Grand Prix in Locarno, 2016, and in 2017, Best Documentary Film at the European Film Awards.
Please take us to the very beginning of your film Chameleon. How did this story started for you?
That was a while ago. I realized today before we started to talk that it's like I kind of start to forget things. But yeah, I met these people, I mean my characters of Chameleon like 10 years ago almost now. In 2012, and back then I was working on a short film, fiction film, more or less about like it was very similar story. So when I met them by chance, basically on a train station, and I got to know them after some time, I realized that I should follow them instead of like making this short fiction film and just focus on this story and this family because they represent everything that I wanted to make a film about. And I started my research. I was spending a lot of time with them. Was working on a script for more than 1 year before I shot a film. At the beginning without the camera, later with the camera, just like, you know, hanging out with them, trying to get to know them and trying to understand what I want to do with them. Why am I there and what I want from them and so on.
For those who didn't see this movie, and you should do that, your film Chameleon is about a family, mainly about a girl named Ola, who is responsible for the rest of the family and who is trying to reconnect her parents and become the whole family again. Was it this part of the story what inspired you to wanting to know more?
I think the most interesting part to me from the very beginning was this relation between Ola and her little brother, Nikodem, who has autism. It's not clear from the film that he has autism because this word never appeared in the film, but he has this disability called autism, and she's trying to prepare him in the film, to prepare him for the first Holy Communion. She's like basically doing everything in the film to make him normal boy. Obviously he is, you know, very normal to me. I mean, he is very exceptional, but at the same time, there is nothing wrong with him. But because she knows that he kind of like sticks out and he is not like everybody else, he's like really trying to help him in life. At the same time, he's trying to put her family together, and her parents are not together anymore. She's living with the father and with the brother, and she's trying to put this this family together, and she's using her brother's first Holy Communion to meet the family around one table. And what was really interesting but at the same time heartbreaking to me is that she's really doing everything to put this family together, and she's doing everything to have the family. But I guess that's something that, you know, every kid is dreaming about and wants. And in this sense, that was like something very universal. So my goal was to tell this universal coming of age story about this little girl who is basically an adult, and she's a mother to her little brother. She's a partner to her father in some way. And she's fighting for this family to bring them back together.
Zamkniesz się?
Obżarstwo nie jest cnotą, tylko grzechem. Nie
wolno się obżarać. Ale dla mnie nie jest grzechem. Dla mnie jest cnotą.
Nie.
A dla mnie cnotą.
Otwieraj buzię.
Amen.
No, super. Halo, jest mama?
As you say, there are so many aspects of this story, so many universal aspects of lives of so many people. But I would like to ask you step by step by some of these. Obviously, Ola's brother has an autism. Let's say he is very special. But the surrounding people around kind of looks like not noticing it, or they are ignoring it completely. Did you ever have a temptation to talk to people around him, the father, teachers, anybody around, about him and the special care he would need?
Yeah, as you said, and I agree with it, it was rather that they didn't want to see it. Not necessarily the father, but people, I mean, his teachers, a social care worker or priest, they pretended that the problem doesn't exist because, I mean, I think this is the way they were thinking, that by not noticing the problem, they didn't have to do anything about it. So they were like ignoring him and ignoring his special needs. That wasn't my role to necessarily to speak with them about it. Like, rather I wanted to make a film about it and then showing it to them and maybe make some change. But to be honest, I didn't believe that this film might change a lot. However, it was like enough for me if it would just start some discussion in Poland, because it's not only Nikodem, it's many kids in Polish schools with different disabilities that not necessarily are acknowledged with their disabilities. And there's like basically no place for different kids in Polish schools, but not only. I mean, yeah, I think this is probably not only a Polish problem.
Why this is a problem in Poland? Do you think the church has its place in this? Do you think it's a common problem of the society?
I wouldn't like to blame church or social worker. It's just, I mean, the system, for whatever the reason, doesn't work necessarily. And I think this film in some way shows it. But I wouldn't like to blame, you know, like particular people. That's why I never show also faces of these people. So the social worker or the priest or the teacher, they're usually the voice from behind the frame. So we hear them, but we don't see them. So in this way, I was trying to avoid blaming particular people, but rather show that the system doesn't work. Obviously, it's not only the problem of disabled kids in Polish school. It's also a problem of kids that have like a different sexual orientation. So I think it's a bigger problem of some kind of people who are different, like young people who are different, who don't fit, are not necessarily wanted, to say at least.
Your film is called Communion, and Communion as a ritual of the Catholic Church is a center of your story. Why did you decide to make it the center of your story at the end?
In some way, I mean, it was like a different reasons, I guess. Communion, it's not only religious meaning, but also communion as a gathering. So like from this communion, which is like a Latin word that has also like a different meaning, like, you know, people coming together and so on. In this communion, this preparation for communion, Ola, who was like preparing her brother for the first communion, she was doing it to meet the mother, so to bring the family together, back together. So that was the communion I was trying to talk about. And Nikodem's communion was like a perfect dramaturgy line I could organize the whole story around. So I guess that was like some tool I used also to make this easier for myself, how to, you know, like think about this story, what should happen, like, you know, all this preparation for the dinner, for the exam itself, and so on. So that was my tool, I would say.
I can imagine that filming with young characters, with children, can bring some dilemmas. How did you cope with these? How far one could go in talking to characters of the film who are not adults, and to be sure that it's a decision made with understanding what's going to happen then?
So that was a very difficult part for me. As I see it now from time distance, I wasn't necessarily fully prepared to do it. I thought that I was back then, but I actually wasn't. I had a psychologist I was talking to. If I had any problem, I could just, you know, ask her for advice. But it wasn't only that it was like kids, but it was also kids with special needs. Obviously, Nikodem with autism, Ola as a young girl with her also very special needs. To make it easier for myself, I signed up for a course for parents with autistic children. So this course prepared me to understand Nikodem better and his needs, so I could adjust my behavior on a set to that. But psychology, it was challenging. And I was fully aware that I'm stepping on a very thin ice, or at least I am now fully aware. Maybe back then I wasn't fully aware. But, you know, it was a thing with Ola, especially because Nikodem was younger back then. But with Ola, I wanted to be from the very beginning very honest about my intention. So I revealed my intention at a very early stage, why I want to make this film and what I would like to film. So it was before every shooting day, because I was working with a script. She always knew what we will record, how I understand the scene, why I would like to include it into the film. And she knew if there is anything that she didn't want to be filmed or she didn't feel like doing something, she could always say it, and she knew that I would respect her opinion about it. So it was very important for me to gain her trust. I mean, without it, this film wouldn't be possible. And I think that there was this trust and this bond between us that enabled to make this film.
This is true. I have to say, this is not a spoiler. Well, those who haven't seen the movie, you have to, because there is no such relationship I haven't seen in movies between the filmmaker and the character. And how did it end up? Are you in touch now? What does she think about the film now after some years?
What exactly she thinks about now, I'm not sure, because now we are not speaking about the film anymore, as, you know, she's somewhere else in life now. She's, you know, she finished her high school. She's in a happy relationship. So we have like a different topics to talk about. Also, we don't have so many chances to meet because I moved out from Warsaw. So we live like, you know, far away from each other now. But of course, we are in touch. We speak from time to time. I hope to see her soon. I remember what she said after premiere of the film, after she saw it on a big screen with an audience, that this film, she feels that it kind of like brought her family closer, that they are like closer as a family now. And that was like very important to me to hear, to be honest, because if it was the other way around, I would be like, you know, not happy about it, to say at least.
Communion was one of the most successful films in the distribution of Kinedoc project in 2018. So your film was distributed through this platform in several European countries. So I assume that you had a chance to talk to audiences all over Europe. How different were the reactions in comparison with your homeland, Poland? In other countries?
Differences were because of, like, I think that we couldn't translate everything from Polish. I'm speaking about Nikodem's part now, this autistic boy that is main character of the film. We weren't able to translate his parts as we wanted, exactly as we wanted, because he's very creative in a way he uses language. He uses Polish language. So sometimes some scenes that for Polish audience were very funny because the way he was speaking Polish was quite funny. It wasn't exactly the same funny for international audience because it wasn't possible to translate everything as we wanted. The only difference actually I could think about, because I was traveling with this film to many different places, like places like Japan, where film also had a cinema distribution. And even there, the way people were speaking about the film, questions they were asking, was basically the same. So I think that even the ceremony, communion as a, you know, Catholic ceremony, that's not necessarily recognized by all Japanese people. They simply don't know it. That wasn't the most important part. The most important part for them was this family story, family relations, which are universal. And I think that they got everything from the film, exactly as, for instance, European audience, because probably this, you know, family relations everywhere look basically the same. We are all dealing with the same problems. We basically have same needs and same wants. So I must say that I don't see like many differences between audiences around the world and how they understood the film.
Then in 2017, you won the main prize on the European Film Award for the best documentary. And in your acceptance speech, you mentioned the freedom of filmmakers' expression. Specifically, you thanked the Polish Film Institute for letting you make the film the way you wanted and not censoring it. Can you tell me something more about this this comment? Why did you choose such comment in the acceptance speech?
I just wanted, like, you know, express my gratitude that I was able to do it, because in Poland we still are, you know, we don't have any censorship when it comes to filmmaking. Polish filmmakers are getting public money from Polish Film Institute, and they are not, you know, being forced to make like films according to anybody's vision than, you know, their own vision. But of course, as you know, in Poland, you know, we have very right-wing government, and it's not in every department. It doesn't work the same. Like, for instance, public television in Poland is very right-wing oriented. I think I might use this word, it's a propaganda television almost, or even not almost, it is a propaganda television. So things that, at least to me, a person who grew up in a, you know, free country where this freedom of speech, free media, and so it was something like, you know, I was taking for granted. I realized a few years ago that even here in the middle of Europe, it might not be always a case, right? That something might change, and it's actually changed. So that was something that, you know, that back then I was experiencing it for the first time, I guess. And that was something that I just realized that, you know, I was like very thankful that I could make this film without any censorship, without anybody telling me how I should do it, in a total freedom and with the public funds. So I was like, you know, very, very lucky.
You're right that especially we in the Eastern Europe, we sometimes cannot imagine that it could go back, but then it's too fast and we forget to do something. So that's why I wanted to talk about this mention you have, and I thought it's really, really important. Last year, the 2019, was a year of the COVID-19. The pandemic changed lives of all of us, meant a challenge for all of us. What did it mean for you as for an artist, as for a filmmaker?
It meant a big change and a big wake-up call. And, you know, first month was, of course, like some kind of like a feeling of alienation, of helplessness, like loss of control. But, you know, after, it was more like a fear of unknown. And now it's like, you know, what I should do, what I can do about it, what I should do about it as a filmmaker. Like, you know, we are like in a completely different reality now. And like things that were, I was like, you know, thinking about a year ago, just like, it just feels like it was ages ago, and it's not the same world anymore, and will never be the same world anymore. So I'm trying to find my place as a human being and as an artist, and try to actually reorganize my life and try to like understand how to live from now on.
And you are one of the filmmakers who started immediately to try to overcome this time with creativity.
Wait a second, I need to ask my neighbor, because he started to cut grass, and I will kindly ask him to stop for 5 minutes, okay? Because he won't be able to hear me. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, sorry for that. My neighbor, he has obsession.
Don't worry, no problem.
Every day.
Some people, they need to cut the grass every day because if it's bigger, then it's a problem. We've got neighbors like these as well. Crazy. Okay, so I ask again. You are one of the filmmakers who tried immediately to overcome this year, this crisis, by creating a new film. Tell us something about the new project you made for HBO.
So that was a short film shot in 2 or 3 weeks, altogether with post-production and everything. So it was like very fast. We were asked to, together with other filmmakers from Poland, fiction filmmaker, animators, other documentarists, to make a short movie about what are we experiencing in this, you know, pandemic time. And I accepted the challenge. However, my partner, who is at the same time cinematographer, back then was in Kyoto in Japan, and he was visiting his parents, and I wanted to do something together with him. So I was like, you know, I was like thinking how to do it if he's there and I am here. So we decided to do this long distance film. And basically that was this kind of like a story about this couple who is separated by pandemic. She's in Warsaw, he's in Kyoto, and they are trying to get closer. They are trying to make a film together. That was the story. I was almost like no script. There was like no time to prepare any kind of script. There was like some kind of like a very, very, very simple story. But what was challenging is that he was filming his parents in Kyoto, in his house, and I was in Warsaw. So thanks to technology, I was able to see what he's filming, what is happening in front of the camera on my computer.
So because, you could direct him.
I mean, like, we're like both directors on this movie, so it was hardly impossible to direct his parents, especially that I don't know Japanese. And but it was also a part of it that, you know, that part of the story, that because we are making this long distance film together, this means a lot of confusions and frustrations because we are like not understanding. I don't understand what's happening. So it's like kind of we are trying to convey this feeling of this helplessness and alienation I was experiencing at the beginning of the pandemic when I was like alone at my in my home. So I think that this kind of emotions that I felt that moment, this I was trying to show in this film.
True Story is a documentary podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film. You can find news from the world of film on all the common platforms such as iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, as well as on docweb.net.
So we had this special device on the camera that I could see on my computer what he is shooting. Of course, you know, on the top of it was this time difference because it was like daytime in Kyoto, nighttime in Warsaw. So it was like kind of like everything was like upside down. But the whole experience, I must say, was very interesting. But I know for sure that I will never, ever make a film like this again, like via Zoom. It's absolutely impossible. Especially if you don't have any, you know, contact with the actor. It's like, it's just impossible. It was just like, you know, pure frustration and misunderstandings. But very important experience, I must say.
Quite opposite to your previous film, I see. Let's hope that this is not the future for all of us, for all our films, that we don't touch our characters anymore. Anna, what's your plan for now? What is there anything you're working on now, or what are you planning in the future in your filmmaking?
So I relocated myself. I moved to Primeval Forest. It's on the border between Poland and Belarus, Puszcza Białowieska. And I am here for last year, so it's been a while. And I'm trying to live here, and I'm trying to work here, and I'm trying to work on my next film here. But that wasn't the reason I moved here to make a film. But just like, you know, I'm here, so I'm. I guess I owe this place something, because I'm getting so much that I would like to do something for this place as well. So that probably will be a film, because this is what I'm doing in life. So.
Anna, thank you very much for the interview. I wanted to mention once again that both of your films are on HBO, ready to watch. And thank you very much for your time and big luck for any of your future projects. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
This was Anna Zámecká. Thank you for listening to True Story, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. We will be back with you soon.